The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small-batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Baby, do you want to go higher? Baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. We've got Reynaldo on the controls and Molly Tuttle Tranchin in studio with us. She is the fashion veggie. We're going to be talking with her a little later on in the show about plant-based living and sustainable fashion. I just bought a pair of vegan boots last night. Here, I'll show you.
Cute. What color? Ooh, you have them on.
Aren't those cute?
I like them.
Where'd you get them?
Right? I got them at VOD. A friend of mine owns that store in Victory Park.
I want to feel them.
And the name, the brand is, it's Felice, or something, not Felice. No, it means daughter's.
Elise.
What is it?
I thought it's
Papa, and then something Papa. And I bought another pair of their vegan boots. I think it means daddy's girl.
Okay. Oh, it says Fee Papa. Yeah,
Fee Papa. Yeah.
Okay,
and anyway, so I bought another pair of theirs. They're for the 4th of July last year. They were red, white, and blue, but they make like the most fantastic veggie boots.
I love it. I'm going to have to go check that out. That's awesome.
But it's great to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I follow you on Instagram. And of course, you were at the panel, on the panel of where I emceed the stage at the Texas Veggie Fair. Which panel were you on? I'm trying to remember. You were pregnant then, too.
It was like very parenting,
pregnant.
Right?
Yes, it was vegan pregnancy. And parenting.
There you go. Yeah.
That was such a blast.
Yeah. Thanks so you've got two babies now, and it's so great to have you in studio.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry I was a little late. When you have two under two, it's like journey to get anywhere.
Oh my gosh, two under two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility. We've got a lot of great stuff on the show today. Colin Stuckert is going to be talking about healing the broken food system. And Maura Davies is always with us, or almost always with us, every single Friday. She is the Vice President of Communications at the SPCA. That's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals in North Texas. Her website is, their website is simply spca.org. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Maura?
Doing great. Yeah, happy to speak with you as always.
Yeah. You know, I always think of you. I think of you a lot, especially when something funny happens at my house. So last night I just had cleaned all the sheets and the duvet and everything was fresh. And one of my dogs peed on the bed. Last night. I think it was one of my older ones, you know, and they just.
So they kind of get a pass.
Yeah, they get
just
a pass.
Just a little bit.
You know, didn't get upset, didn't get all, you know, didn't get angry or anything. Just, you know, it's part of owning an animal and they're older. And so I think one of them might have been Mick. You know, he might have lost control of his bladder a little bit last night. So now I'll just start putting a little pad underneath him or something. But my animals bring me so much joy. You know that. Everyone out there listening that has pets and loves them so much, they all feel the same way. And we're continuing our conversation. 10 spring cleaning tips for dog people continued. But before we do, I have to tell you, I called Terminix this morning because I'm on one of those rampages again about the glue traps, you know, because you and I know you love rats too, Maura.
I do.
Yeah. You love rats like I do. We both have had wonderful pets that were rats, and these glue traps are just so inhumane. They're absolutely horrible. So I called the 1-800 number this morning to Terminix to see if they were still doing the glue traps, and yes, they are. So I think that if everybody just, you know, made them aware of the cruelty behind it, if you're going to use a company like that, which I, of course, would never spray pesticides inside my home, no matter what. I would get a cat for the spiders or the mice or whatever before I would ever spray those toxins inside my home. They're not healthy for you. But having said that, if you have a pesticide company, please encourage them to not use glue traps. Right, Maura?
Oh, they're awful. And some people think, oh, it's easy. No, they're horrible. The animals that get stuck, they suffer a horrific slow death. They starve. They suffocate.
Yep.
Even if somebody does try to rescue them, it's not easy to, and those little teeny tiny delicate bodies just suffer so much. It makes me want to go vomit how horrible they are. I'll put it that way.
It's horrible. Well, and I'm not going to retell the story in case Marie Early's listening, because the last time I told the story, she was bawling for days. I had to try to rescue a rat once off of one of those glue traps, and it did not end well. It just did not end well, and it was the most horrific experience of my life when it comes to animals. It is so cruel, you guys. So just a heads up there. And also, if you're using mink eyelashes, I got this from PETA yesterday. Let me pull this up, because a lot of people are unaware of just so much cruelty out there. Where did it go?
That's such a waste. You use them one time.
Oh, yeah. Well,
usually.
It says, I'll have to look for, I'll have you look for it while we continue on here. But it's in my messages from PETA. And it was about how they suffer so much their whole life, these little tiny minks, in terrible conditions. And then they die this, you know, merciless death just so we can have mink eyelashes. Like, we don't need that, and we certainly don't need to be abusing animals. And so I wanted to put that out there, too. So don't buy, if you buy fake eyelashes, don't buy mink ones, because there's an animal behind that package that suffers tremendously so you can have mink eyelashes. So don't do that, right?
Right.
Absolutely. And there's so many synthetic products out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here it is. It's Reply Why to speak up for minks who live miserable lives on fur farms before being violently killed for false eyelashes. So we're calling out Sephora here, because Sephora sells them. So Sephora, shame on you. Quit selling mink eyelashes, and understand that there is a cruelty, a very big penalty for the animals behind the scenes. Okay. I'm jumping off the box. Now we're going to talk about stuff. 10 spring cleaning tips for dogs, dog people continued. So let's continue this. What did we miss out on last week, Maura?
We were talking about collars and tags and leashes. And one thing that you can look at every spring is look at your pet's tags. Those metal ones can get scratched up. And so maybe your pet, your phone number, your email address, I would advise putting both if you can, on that tag, get scratched out and they're not clear. Or if they're collars or leashes or snagged, my sweet little kitty Opal, she does have a collar and tags. She is also microchipped. She's an indoor kitty, and I had a collar one time I got her that she didn't like. She scratched it so badly, it actually started getting smaller on her neck, and of course that was the trash.
Yeah.
So watch out for that.
Yeah, you do. The collars, I check mine typically like a couple times a month, really. And when you're petting them, it's just a good time to check out their nails and see if their nails are too long. And then the dew claws that can dig, you know, even myself, as much as I attend, you know, take care of my animals so well and tend to them, sometimes the dew claws can grow really quickly and grow right into their skin. And if it's a really furry animal, you can't see them. So check those when you're petting your dog or cat. Mm-hmm. Well, not cat. They don't have dew claws. Right? They have the long...
Well, they have like their... I'm not certain of the term, but they have the little claws that are kind of on the side, and it's super technical, but those can sometimes grow and seem to get longer. So yes, when you're petting your dog or your cat, check their nails, check their collar, check over their body. If you find any lumps or bumps, maybe time to check in with the veterinarian. So that's a wonderful tip too for the spring, or anytime actually. I love that monthly.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then I see on this list is clean the beds. You should be cleaning the beds like every week. I always clean my beds, and I buy dog beds where you can take the cover off and throw it in the washer, and then, you know, maybe once a month the pad inside, unless it's been, you know, soiled or something like that, I, you know, usually clean that like once a month, something like that.
Oh, yeah. I'd recommend spring being the time that you remember to remind yourself, look, I've got to clean my pet's bed as often as I'm cleaning my own sheets. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of fair. If you're, you know, if you're washing your sheets, just do another load, wash your pets. Look for those pet beds that have, like you were talking about, Bernadette, the little zip-off covers.
Yeah.
You can easily wash. And then, you know, ever so often, like maybe once a month, every couple of months, there's that inner fluff stuff. You can put that in the washer too in some cases, but look for those beds that you can wash. It's cleaner, it's better, and make sure you use non-scented laundry detergent, as the scented kinds can often irritate your pet skin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can. And I see on here, get your car detailed. So I have a great little
car detail.
Yeah. I have a couple of great biohacks since I, you know, detail my own car typically. So I get these blankets at IKEA that aren't real expensive, but they're very durable. Uh-huh. They're about 10, maybe 12 bucks a piece. And I have three of them, one for the front seat, two for the back. And I change them out and wash them like, I don't know, once every couple of weeks, but it helps because Charlie goes for his ride, and so does Susie every morning. You know, when I take my daughter to school till she starts driving, and I start crying every day because she's driving. but it's a cheap little thing to do, and they actually are pretty nice. They're the ones I have are gray, so they match my interior, and they're kind of they almost feel like felt. You know, and so they're not wool, so they're not an animal product. And I'm looking at the fashion veggie, Molly, across the studio table here, or desk. And
I'm sure that helps with the fur a lot.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
It really does.
That's great.
Yeah, and you can detail your car at a stoplight. I always carry, like, I started this when I had baby wipes in the car. Yeah, you can always wipe down stuff with baby wipes or just, you know, good wipes that you keep in the car, right?
I want to see Bernadette detailing your car. Right?
One super cool thing I would love to tell y'all super fast. There's something called a pet hair removal stone. It's made out of like blown glass, so sand from the beach blown into glass. It's like bubbled, and it's super cheap. You can get it in a bunch of different places. You take that. It's like a soap bar looking thing, and use that to get the pet hair off your carpet. It works miracles, I'm here to say.
Oh, nice. And you say get your floors and upholstery professionally cleaned. How often? Like, I would say,
you know,
I'm a cleaning nut, though. I would say, you know, twice a year, but it's expensive. But, you know, there's other ways to biohack that, too, because when I used to live across the street from where I live now, I had a Bissell steam cleaner that I used to use because I had a white area carpet, and I had 14 or 15 dogs at that time. And I used to, you know, steam clean my white carpet like twice a week, and it's super quick to do. Yeah.
It's depending on your pets, on the usage, you want to clean different times. And not only floors and upholstery professionally cleaned periodically, that's kind of hard to say, but make sure you deep clean in and around your dog or your cat's dining area. Definitely get in there and clean it. I mean, I do it a couple of times a week where I'm kind of deep cleaning. It doesn't take a lot. If you do it more frequently, you're going to stay cleaner in the long run.
Yep, and your house will smell better.
Yes.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. Maura, thank you and everyone at the SPCA for all the work you do to keep animals safe and off the streets and put them in good homes. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. Maura, thanks again. We'll talk to you next week. We've got a fantastic show coming up. Colin Stuckert, he is the CEO and founder of Wild Foods, Healing the Broken Food System. And Molly Tuttle-Trachin is going to be talking about plant-based living and sustainable fashion. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Get a good feeling, yeah.
Love that song. Thank you, Ronaldo. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos, Molly Tuttle-Trachin, and Colin Stuckert is on the line with us. He is the CEO and founder of Wild Foods, obsessed with the truisms of health. Colin lives his life based on ancestral mindset. By understanding our evolutionary past, he believes we can reverse our failing health through a consciously designed lifestyle. He is on a mission to save as many people as possible from the dangerous dogma promoted by Bad Science, Big Pharma, and Big Food. I love this company. Their website is wildfoods.co. That's wildfoods.co. And on Instagram at wildfoodsco. Colin, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, good. You sound serious today. Are you serious?
I'm serious every day. Depends on the hour of the day.
No, I'm joking with you. I'm serious too most of the time, but I do. It's TGIF. It's Friday, so I'm a little giddy.
We're today.
A little giddy today. I really am happy. It's Friday. Yeah. Normally, I don't pay attention because I work so much. It doesn't really matter. One day is
yeah,
just like the next.
That's
but
me.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah, yeah. I watched some videos of you this morning. Somebody said, "Yeah, he's so successful at such a young age." And I said, "Well, that's because of the way he thinks, you know." But and it's great to have you on the air with us again. It is. So for people that maybe aren't have never heard of Wild Foods and what your mission is, can you share it with our listeners?
Yeah, well, I mean, this started out of my obsession when I got into, you know, health and nutrition, and I made the connection between the quality of foods I was eating and the better results and the better I felt. And I kind of fell into, you know, having this company and doing this because I was sourcing for myself. I wanted to find literally the best whey protein on the planet. And so I did find it. And then I kind of was like, oh, well, maybe other people would be interested in this. And so, you know, long story short, that's how I got into this. But it's all about sourcing and it's all about ingredients and just finding the best stuff I can in the world.
Well, you know, your whey protein, by the way, I'm holding a container of it in my hand right now, and it's grass-fed year-round. That's huge.
Yep.
It is huge. And, you know, you talk about the happiness of the animals and stuff like that. That's important to a lot of people. It really is.
Yes. Well, I mean, if you're going to, you know, eat animals, which is another topic, or even just consume products like dairy, for example, from animals, those animals and how they live, you know, like for me, that's the most important thing, right? Because at the end of the day, there's a food chain and we, for proper human nutrition, we do have to eat animals, but we don't have to eat factory farmed animals and we don't have to treat animals poorly. And at the end of the day, like if an animal lives a good life, I mean, you know, versus a not good life.
Right.
You know, there's a way to do it ethically.
Absolutely. Happiness and great ingredients, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. They go hand in hand.
That's
even better.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Wild Method, can you tell people what it is and what the Wild Guarantee is?
Yeah. Well, again, this goes back to the sourcing. It's basically in you know, short terms, that if I won't eat it, or even give it to my son, for example, then we won't sell it. That's really what it comes down to. Like the highest bar I could set for me, because I'm so obsessed with the quality and knowing everything about the ingredient, how it's going to affect my health, where it comes from, if it's an animal product, how the animals are treated, et cetera. It all ties in to that being our sourcing method.
Do you believe in like the energy in the food and things like that?
Oh, I don't know. I try to keep things simple and just, you know, as far as food goes and animals, I think, if it's in tune with nature, like if a cow is eating grass outside, walking
right
around, you know, eating bugs and dirt and all these different things, it's going to be as close to the way it's designed as possible. And therefore, it's going to be better for the animal and for the end user of the product, like for us, for example, who are consuming it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I understand that you wrote an essay titled "What is Real Food?" Can you expand on your definition mm-hmm. of real food? I don't think a lot of people really understand what real food is.
Right. I actually capitalize it usually to try to kind of call attention to it when I'm writing it. So capital R, capital F, real food is going to be food that is, and again, in accordance with nature. So like as close to the growth level or if it's agriculture, like what is a farmer doing? Are they growing things that are in a biodynamic way that they're allowing the insects and the birds and these other animals and the ecosystem kind of do its job? Or are they trying to layer on pesticides and all these other chemical or man-made inputs to kind of control and force nature to do mm-hmm. what he wants, right? That's an example. Like just trying to get foods as close to nature as possible. And even best, if you can get from the actual wild, like there's a lot of ingredients that you can actually source from the wild herself and still be able to create a supply chain around it. And that's really, like, for me, the holy grail.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I've got your Cocotropic, which I love. You put it in your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
a lot of people, there's a lot of confusion around mushrooms because some people say, oh, well, what about the fungus, blah, blah, blah. You know, but we have found, you know, in recent years that there are incredible benefits of mushrooms like the reishi mushroom and wild chaga, raw maca yep. and turmeric. Those are, of course, not mushrooms, but that are all in this one mood plus concentration formula that you sell, like this elixir.
Yeah, we're still just kind of scratching the surface of mushrooms. We really don't know, but all the research seems to point to there being benefits. And one thing that's interesting about the mushroom kingdom is we're actually closer in DNA to the mushroom kingdom than we are to the plant kingdom. And so what? People think they're plants. They're actually not. Yeah, and we share a lot of the same DNA, the mushrooms, and some people kind of postulate that maybe that's why they're so beneficial to us, because we have such a similar DNA structure.
Wow. I heard someone was telling me the other day that there have been reports and studies that, you know, alluded to that turkey tail that can shut down cancer cells, things like that. There's so many things in nature, like, you know, like the reishi mushroom or the wild chaga, all these mushrooms that have so many incredible medicinal purposes.
Yes, and there's a really good talk I would recommend everyone watch by Paul Stamets, who's kind of like the godfather of mushrooms right now, about his mom having cancer and doing high-dose turkey tail. And, I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, like, they basically were able to stave off cancer or mitigate it or mm-hmm. It was just amazing. Like,
yeah.
I would highly recommend people find that on YouTube.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, you know, an individual doesn't have the money that a big pharmaceutical company has to do all this research at these universities. And that's a whole problem in mm-hmm. itself, you know, that there's an influence. A financial influence from Big Pharma in these studies that are done in major universities, and actually worldwide, it's a problem, because integrity is everything. Yep. when you're trying to, when you're trying to, what's the word I want to use? Can't think of it.
Find the truth.
What?
Find the truth.
Yeah, find
not
the truth.
Really, which we're trying to do.
But, right. But collect research is what I was looking for. The word, like, collecting research. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, who's got time to study turkey tail? And it's a natural thing, right? So how are you going to make money off of it and pay for all that time and expense that you used in the research? But these are things that have been around since ancient times, these ancient principles and Chinese medicine and all these things that we have somehow let disappear, you know, from our food source and our knowledge base, and just things that we need to do naturally, staying close to nature. And, you know, I know that you believe that humans are designed by nature, for nature. Do you have any principles that you would like to share with our listeners?
I have six. I won't go into them because I know we're limited on time, but I'll give you six.
No, give me six.
One we talked about. Okay, six. So real food is number one.
Okay.
But for me, it's probably between 70 and 90%. If your food is not right, like, nothing else you do matters, right? So that's always number one. Sleep is number two. It very much coincides. Like, if you're not getting a lot of sleep, a lot of other things in your life, you're just not going to be able to make up for that. Number three is movement. We all know why, so I won't really go into that.
Yep.
Number four is nature/sunlight. So I put nature there because if you're getting outside, you're pretty much getting your vitamin D and you're getting sunlight. But going outside, not being afraid of the sun, and getting sunlight while moving is just hugely therapeutic for a million reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The next one most people wouldn't expect is fasting. I believe that some form of fasting, mixing up meal timing and variability to the human diet is a first principle. I don't think about fasting as like a weight loss hack. It's mm-hmm. actually the way we're designed by living in nature for hundreds of thousands of years.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and then that's – go ahead.
No, you go ahead. What was number six?
Last one before is social. So we are social animals. We need to get back to community and our, you know, quote unquote connected world. We're actually more disconnected than ever because we're substituting a screen and little emojis, little dopamine hits for actual human experience. And it is causing detrimental effects in our society, which you can see with the rising rates of depression, especially in teens and kids. This is a serious problem. You know, we don't have time to go into it, but like, it's something everyone should be paying attention to.
Absolutely. No, I agree with all this. And again, fasting, it's been around since the beginning of time. And we didn't have food everywhere. We had to hunt and gather, you know, food and actually live in nature. I mean, if you could go back to being like cavemen or women. But, you know, there's so many principles that have been lost over the last couple of centuries that we've lost our health as a result of it. Right?
Yes. It's the profit motive and it's technology and it's, you know, the speed and it's all these different things. And the more we do that, the more we lose our wildness. But we can use these things in a way that is in conjunction with our genes. And there's a lot of people that are trying to do that. There's a lot of good work doing, whether it's technology, whether it's food, whether it's pharmaceuticals, medical. But we have like another 50 years to really figure all this stuff out.
I know. Well, I can tell you this. You have a lot of energy. I have a lot of energy. I'm a wild woman. You're a wild man. No, seriously. All this energy is from
really,
taking care of yourself, getting movement, fasting, you know. And I was going to ask you, have you ever sun gazed? Have you ever sun gazed, like set your circadian rhythm in the morning and at night by getting up like with the sun and like, you know, just meditated in the sunlight?
No.
Sounds
amazing.
You haven't?
Well,
have you?
Well, my morning routine is actually that, but it's been so cold lately that I haven't been doing it. So normally I go outside with just basically boxers and I'm outside for 30 minutes. And then when I'm sweating, and I'm kind of over it, then I go back inside and get ready for the day. But that's my that's my preferred way to get up.
Yeah, and it's awesome. But you should do it cold, too, just like the cold shower thing, right? That's another one of those famous biohacks. Like, it's good to be cold.
No, you're right.
Right?
You're totally right.
Yeah, because,
yes, you're right.
No, because people say, I don't know how you're so tough, Bernadette, you know, because I can, you know, I can go out barefoot in cold weather. It's from growing up north, you know, back east.
Yeah.
It'd be 20 below zero. You got to be tough to survive in those kind of conditions. Right. But I do think it makes you a stronger individual, both physically, mentally, and emotionally.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, it's always great to have you on the show. And I love your energy, love your company. And one more question. What are your goals for the upcoming year?
My goals are to grow my YouTube. And I'm doing a lot of videos there right now, investing a lot into that. Got a studio set up and everything. And I really love it because I feel like I can reach more people. And it's a little bit more intimate. Obviously, the podcast as well. So growing YouTube and the podcast. You can find me on The Ancestral Mind, search it on either, and you'll find us. And I look forward to seeing any of your listeners there.
Yeah, I watched a couple of them this morning. I had no idea. You look like a kid. You're so young, right?
Well, I'm 34. I'm going to be 35 soon, but I have those young genes, yeah.
Well, and then you guys have a cafe in Austin, right? The Wild Food Cafe?
Yeah, well, we have Wild Food. We actually just moved. Now we're moving more to a studio and doing more content and everything. But we do have the home base in Austin, and we have a lot of we go to all the events, PaleoFX, KetoCon, and we're planning on doing a lot more stuff. But yes, Austin is our home right now.
Yeah, I love it. Well, we'll see you at the PaleoFX. We're all going to be there. There's going to be a lot of people there. It's always a great event. We actually got an Airbnb right on the Barton Springs.
Yep.
So we can jump out the back of the house into the spring.
Come hang out. It's a party.
Yeah.
That's okay. Awesome.
All right. Always great. Colin, thank you so much for supporting One Life Radio. And it's always great to have you on the show with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's Colin Stuckert. I encourage you to check out Wild Foods. They have some incredible products. They've just got a ton of products. They've got a turmeric product, a vitamin D, K2.
Charcoal.
The what? Oh, the charcoal one.
Yep. Everything.
Yep, charcoal. They've got the copotropic, the, what are the butter things? The ones that Charlie ate that I had to reorder?
Oh, the cocoa nibs?
The cocoa. No, not the cocoa nibs, but the butter.
Oh, I don't know.
Is he off the line? He could tell us. Colin could tell us. But anyway, check them all out at Wild Foods and use the code, is it OLR for 20% off?
Yep.
All right, and we'll be back. We've got Molly Tuttle Tranchin. And I've never heard that name. I like it. Molly Tuttle Tranchin. She's going to be talking about plant-based living and sustainable fashion. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Si el ritmo te lleva a mover la cabeza, ya empezamos como es. Mi música no discrimina a nadie, así que vamos a romper.
Lo mío todo se mueve.
Love this song. I haven't heard this in a very long time. We'll let it roll. Do you know this song?
Yeah, Beyonce's on it.
Yeah. I haven't heard this in a long time, though. Beyonce, Queen B.
Right?
Oh my gosh, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos, and we've got Molly Tuttle Tranchin in studio with us. She is the Dallas-based influencer behind Fashion Veggie, a blog and Instagram page that highlights vegan fashion, cruelty-free beauty, and plant-based parenthood. Molly and her husband have two boys, a toddler and a newborn, as well as three big, lovable rescue dogs. Her mission is to support others in making kind and healthy choices in order to make a difference in human health, our environment, the world, and for all animals. Her website is fashionveggie.com, and on Instagram, it's at Fashion Veggie. Instagram at Fashion Veggie. And I follow you on Instagram.
You do?
Yeah,
thanks
I do.
So much.
And I love all the pictures, and I love that you share a lot of your life with people that follow you on Instagram. The baby stuff, all of it. The dogs, your husband. Was your husband doing like a crawl on the floor on his back a couple of weeks ago?
He's a very hands-on parent, which I appreciate. And he's like, he's sort of the fun lover of the family. Yeah, he crawls all over with the kids, and it's I'm really lucky.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Well, and so how old is your newborn?
10 weeks.
10 weeks. Yes. Wow. And you were saying earlier when Colin was speaking that you really need to get some sleep too.
When Colin said sleep, I was just like, oh man, I miss sleep. That was a good time when I used to sleep.
Well, a couple
Those
more
were the
weeks.
Days. Yes.
It's difficult. It is with a newborn. Children can be just, you know, they're wonderful, but they are a lot of work. But you know, I love what you're doing. I do. I feel very passionate about it as well. So what influenced you to become plant-based in the first place?
What influenced me to be plant-based? I have always eaten pretty much vegetarian. And I just really in my head, milk, cheese, all of that was not harmful to an animal. In my head, it was a cow grazing, you know,
right.
And then somebody would stop and milk the cow. I had no idea about factory farming, anything like that. I went and saw Cowspiracy. Have y'all seen Cowspiracy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not a graphic documentary whatsoever about animal rights or anything like that. It really is about just sort of the eco impact of the agribusiness. And I didn't anticipate being deeply affected by it, but I went and I was profoundly impacted by it. I really made the connection that the dairy industry is the meat industry, and the fashion industry as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, is part of that world. And I left after having made that connection and just said, okay, that's it for me. You know, I'm going to have to do a total lifestyle overhaul. And I'm an extreme personality. There are no like baby steps for me typically.
All
and
or nothing.
This was, yes. I mean, yeah. I got rid of everything, replaced everything. And that's not necessarily something I would recommend people do, but that's the way I did it. And now it's become my whole, you know, world pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got rid of all your, like anything in your house that was
animal. I got rid of my pillows. I got rid of my leather couch. I got rid of my shoes. I mean, my friends just had a heyday in my, you know, shoe closet. And because I've worked as a wardrobe stylist before. So I had all sorts of like really high fashion.
I heard you have a lot of shoes.
I have a lot of shoes. Mm-hmm. And so I really did a huge, huge overhaul from everything from the soaps in the kitchen. It was a really big, and that's why I started Fashion Veggie. I pulled up Instagram and, you know, just kind of made an account to kind of track the things I would find.
Right.
You know, everything from cosmetics to pillow. I mean, really anything, clothes. For me, fashion was the hardest part of the transition.
So yeah, it is.
That's why I called it Fashion Veggie, not thinking this would become my career. That's the name to this day.
Yeah. No, I really like it. And I love the work that you're doing. Education is, knowledge is power, you know, and we don't know what we don't know. I mean, I could tell you stories of stuff that I didn't know about either. And when I did find out the truth, it hugely impacted me.
Of course.
And every decision that I made. And like you, you know, I was a vegetarian, but I still ate, you know, butter or cheese and on occasion fish. Or milk, you know, I didn't realize that the dairy industry until I saw, you know, an expose on it. And it was before Cowspiracy. It was something else. I've been a PETA member for 20 years. I've been contributing to them. In fact, I just got my happy anniversary card yesterday.
20 years.
20
oh,
years
wow.
of supporting PETA.
Look at this cute little
I'm proud
squirrel.
To say. And you know, a lot of people, I used to be almost embarrassed to say that because people are so judgmental before this movement of awareness came, you know, where people now respect free thinkers that are really just trying to help the planet.
Well, PETA gets a bad rap. I mean, PETA is sort of the household name for animal activists.
Right.
So a lot of things that people do, as far as activism is concerned, if somebody doesn't agree with that, they're like, oh, PETA. That's not always PETA.
Right.
And, you know, they do some controversial things, some of which I think is very effective,
mm-hmm.
you know. So yeah,
the squeaky wheel gets the attention.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we live in this cancel culture where if you don't 100% agree with an organization, you just, oh, I hate them.
Yeah.
If you are in my opinion, like 70% agreeance with, you know, something like that, then you can work with it and there are benefits, you know, there to be found. And I'm a fan of PETA. I've traveled and spoken with PETA and I'm a big fan as well.
Well, Ingrid's been in our studio a couple of times.
Oh, wow.
She's my hero. You know, she's a world leader.
I would love to be Ingrid. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, she's a gem.
Is she a gem?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. She's amazing. And think about her, you know, and what she saw as a child. And that's what influenced her. She saw a dog that was being, it was when she lived in India. She was actually with Mother Teresa. Her mother was a volunteer for Mother Teresa, trying to bring just a lot of education to India and just help in some of the most poverty-stricken areas of India. And she saw a dog that was being beaten basically to death while people laughed in the street.
God. Wasn't it? She had to watch through the window of her home.
I would die. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
No, I couldn't. Like I would stay. I'm that Charlotte, Miss, you know, Charlotte from Charlotte's Web, going to get out there and, you know, talk about all the evils against the world. That would be me too. And so I can really relate to that kind of passion. But yeah, that's what started it with Ingrid. And
that's what started One Life Radio too.
And that's what kept me going on One Life Radio too, because I was like, what? A radio show? How am I going to do that? Okay, I can talk about animals. you know? Then I brought in friends of mine, you know, like Larry North and some other people, his brother, Alan.
Funny story, Larry North used to babysit me.
What?
What?
Yes, what?
What? Okay. Did. Yeah. Well,
really?
For another time.
Oh, no. Let's talk about it. Was he a good baby? I bet he's very sweet.
He is. And, you know, it's so funny. I was really young and he dated my godmother.
My gosh.
And so sometimes he would come over and I just remember hanging out with Larry North and he was super fun.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah.
Yeah. No,
that's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, he's very sweet. I could see him being a good babysitter. And he does. He loves children. He loves dogs. He and Brenda actually adopted both of their animals from the SPCA.
Oh, my gosh.
Bliss, and I can't think of the name of their cat, but little Bliss was going to be put down, and they went and rescued him. There's so many animals there that need rescuing.
There really are. It breaks your heart to think about just the rates at which those animals are sentenced to death in the shelters, and, you know, I just... For me,
medical research.
I mean,
it's, we could talk about this for hours and hours, all the cruelty that's out there. And
but we won't. That's a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer. So we're going to talk about how you can do your part to change and do a little plant-based living and sustainable fashion. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. So slipping into the future. On slipping into the future. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette. I've got Ronaldo on the controls playing a lot of great music, TJIF, Aviana Barrientos, and Molly Tuttle Tranchin. She is a Dallas-based influencer behind Fashion Veggie, a blog and Instagram page that highlights vegan fashion, cruelty-free beauty, and plant-based parenthood. Molly and her husband have two boys, a toddler and a newborn, as well as three big, lovable rescue dogs. Her mission is to support others in making kind and healthy choices in order to make a difference in human health, our environment, and for animals. You can find her at her website, fashionveggie.com, or Instagram at fashionveggie. Okay, so how do you plan on raising your babies vegan? You're raising your babies vegan, right?
I am, yes. Yep.
And what's that look like? So what do you do for formula? Are you breastfeeding?
I'm breastfeeding, yeah.
There you go, the best thing to do.
So I breastfed, and I think it's important that people realize not everybody can.
Yeah, they can't.
And so fed is best. I have been fortunate enough to breastfeed both boys. I breastfed River for about 9 months until it was just...
I know the feeling. Oh, no. I remember with my second one, after breastfeeding the second time, I can remember the day, like the moment.
Yeah.
I can still remember. I'm like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so done with it. And not that you're not to sound like an evil mommy or anything, but you reach a point where you've just had enough.
Well,
you just had enough.
And this isn't, I'm not proud of this, but for me, it was a matter of just sort of getting my sanity back as well. I was already pregnant with my second one. And, breastfeeding makes, I lost some sort of lottery that I wasn't even aware existed, but I am someone who gains weight while breastfeeding, and it is really hard on me mentally and physically, and, you know, with my job, it makes me self-conscious. So I was just like, it's too much with the time and all of that. So, I breastfed for about 9 months. I am still breastfeeding Coda. And when I did switch River to formula, we did an organic non-GMO soy-based formula.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but now, I mean, they have even more options now. Now they have an organic pea formula, you know, pea protein. They have...
maybe oat?
Yeah, I don't know that they have an oat formula. No. I think so far they have a rice one that is... I actually had that shipped for a while to me by one of my lovely, lovely followers. She was sending it to me. All the way from France.
Oh, nice.
It's available here.
I love getting stuff from France.
Oh, my gosh.
International.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really, really clean formula. I was really excited about it. I wouldn't necessarily use a rice-based formula here because of the arsenic levels in rice.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. So I try to limit rice with both kids, and it's hard because a lot of snacks for kids are rice-based. Regardless, yes, breastfed and then went to an organic non-GMO soy formula.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so what's your advice for people out there that are listening who are trying to transition to be 100% vegan? What do you want to say to them?
Ooh, I would say go at your own pace, first of all. And secondly, be forgiving of yourself. I think I mentioned earlier, I am an extremist. And when I went vegan, it was like, you know, 0 to 60. I just...
pretty much over.
Oh, and it was a whiplash. I mean, especially for the people in my life. At the time, my husband was my boyfriend, and he, you know, was living with me, and he was watching me throw out our pillows. And I mean,
is he vegan?
He is now about 90. I'd say like 97% vegan.
Yeah.
There's no rule book.
No.
You know, I think it's important. Like 97% vegan, I will take it. That is making a tremendous difference. The amount of people that he sees. You know, he travels all over the place and he takes people out to dinner, and the impact that he's having just by like being this really great person, normal person who's talking about, you know, eating this way, it's making a tremendous difference rather than, you know, being 100% vegan and having all vegan friends and not really making that much of a difference. So. I'm super proud of him, and he's done it partially for me, but also he's really passionate about it now. He's very eco-minded, and he loves animals. And so, yeah, but at the time, no, he was eating barbecue, and here I am, overnight, hardcore vegan, activist vegan. It's all I could think about. I was crying all the time. I'd say, like, most people that I know, when you first go vegan, you go through this, like, weird, angry vegan stage.
Really?
And yes, because once your eyes are open to, you know... it's sort of, it's startling. I mean, it's kind of like, wow, this cruelty has been around me all the time and I didn't even know. And so I went through this phase where I couldn't walk through a freaking department store without seeing the purses. And I was just angry. I was angry that like so many animals had given their lives. And I still, you know, things really irk me. Like I'll admit it.
It's okay.
But I think if you can channel all of these feelings that you have about loving animals and not wanting them to be hurt into influencing people in a positive, like loving way. That's that's the way for me, at least, rather than just spinning your wheels and not and, you know, getting being angry, which doesn't do much. But yeah, I mean, he had to deal with my mood swings and I was super angry and we you know, I was tossing out everything in the house and it was expensive. And frankly, when you do that, it doesn't do much for the cause because it makes going vegan look crazy. I mean, well, it makes it look like kind
that's
of unattainable.
A little extreme. Well, did you repurpose the stuff? Like you gave it away to other people?
I gave it to friends. No, I wasn't tossing it like in the bin. Sorry, I should have clarified
that's
that.
Okay.
I was giving it to friends. Some of it I was selling and some of the profits would go towards the replacements or it would go towards, you know, an animal rights organization.
Right.
So I was trying to figure out like really how I wanted to do this transition in a meaningful way. If I were to do it over again, I would probably take a deep breath. Yeah, take a deep breath. And then when my shoes, you know, were falling apart, replace them with an animal-friendly option, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're fashion veggie. Okay, so let's switch gears here a little bit because I don't want to run out of time.
Sorry.
Can you expand? No, don't worry about it. You're going to come back. Can you expand on sustainable fashion and what should people look for when shopping?
So one thing to note, and I'll try and say this quickly, is that sustainable fashion and vegan fashion, those aren't terms to be used interchangeably necessarily. Vegan fashion is not always sustainable, unfortunately. It's sort of like that Venn diagram. You're looking for ethical fashion, sustainable fashion, and vegan fashion, and hopefully all three, you know, meet in the middle. Unfortunately, though, sometimes that can be rather pricey. So, you know, as an influencer who is talking a lot about fashion, I have to make sure that I'm not, you know, like, so it becomes sort of a, I'm assuming everybody has all this money to spend. So right. I kind of mix it up between ethical fashion, sustainable fashion, vegan fashion. But people do look for, you know, more than ever these days, people are checking the labels, making sure that things don't have wool. They're aware that wool doesn't just entail like taking a pair of scissors and giving a sheep a haircut. It's much more.
It's awful.
Yeah. So
it's awful.
So anyways, yeah, people are looking for that. People are looking for eco-friendly fabrics like linen and like 100% organic cotton and things like that more than ever before, and kind of trying to stay away from acrylic. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to have you back because we have so much to talk about, cruelty-free beauty products and so many things. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today and being in studio.
Of course.
A pleasure to see you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. you really are. Can't wait to meet the baby. Everyone, we got to go. Before we go off the air, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.